The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
And I'm very excited to be here with all of you. Thank you, Seb. I am Trish Regan, host of Trish Intel. You should download the podcast if you haven't already. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Amazon Podcast. They just came out with that today. And I know I'm missing someplace. Spotify. Maybe that was it. Anyway, it's really good to be here with all of you. And we've got a market ended the day higher. So a little bit of optimism there on Wall Street, despite some of the concerns on Capitol Hill. We did see Amy Coney Barrett really get attacked, basically. That's just the nicest way to say it, I guess, from some of the Democrat lawmakers who don't like the idea of a Catholic being in her kind of position, who don't like the idea that any Republican, frankly, because that's what it's about, any conservative get the position she's about to get. But she's going to get it anyway. She's going to get it because it is the president's constitutional duty to nominate her. It is the Senate's duty to vote on that, and they will vote, and they have the votes. So it's time for everybody else to just kind of get used to it, I guess. One of the things that I want to turn to right now, because, you know, as we talk about what the economy might look like under a Joe Biden presidency, and we compare and contrast it, say, with the Obama years and how tough those years were and sort of this defeatist attitude, right, that America had lost its place in the world and that America was never going to be a manufacturing hub again and incomes were just going down and we all just kind of had to deal with it. That was the new normal, direct quote. He called it the new normal. And Joe Biden was part of that. I mean, it's amazing how now Joe Biden's saying, oh, no, now I don't believe that. I believe manufacturing jobs can come back. But that's not what he said. That's not what he said in 2010, for example. So he's singing a different tune right now. But can they really come back under his policies? What would his policies on China actually look like? For that, I am joined right now by the Coming Collapse of China author, Gordon G. Chang. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming back on.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Trish. I really appreciate it.
So let's talk about it. Let's dig in here because, you know, we've heard sort of in essence, right, two very different philosophies. One is more about, you know, fighting back against China through trade deals that will feel more fair. And the other, at least from what we saw during the Obama years, is more of a globalist, okay, well, we can sort of get along with everyone and everybody makes money and isn't that good approach. But you're the expert. Walk me through the challenges and the differences of the two.
Yeah. Well, first of all, President Trump believes in imposing costs on China for clearly unacceptable behavior. It's not only predatory trade practices and stealing U.S. intellectual property, but also taking steps in December and January to deliberately spread the coronavirus beyond China's borders. So Trump is all about defending America in the here and now. Biden's advisors say, well, yes, Biden would be as tough or tougher on China than President Trump. But when you listen to what they actually say, what a Biden administration will be, you got to doubt that. Because essentially the Biden line is the same as the Obama one, and that is you don't try to slow down China, you just try to strengthen America. Now, I have no problem with strengthening America, and we need to do it. We need to invest more in technology. But the problem really is you can't strengthen the U.S. economy without actually dealing with China's predation. So there's a fundamental problem with the Biden philosophy. And indeed, there's so many things that China is doing that you got to deal with them. And I don't think Biden really wants to take the tough decisions about what to do about unacceptable Chinese behavior.
See, that's happened too often, though, right? They kind of just kick the can down the curb, right? Or kick the can a little bit further down the road. And that's what happens. And, you know, one day we're going to wake up and we're going to all be speaking Mandarin, right? I mean, like, or we're going to need to, because it's going to get to that point where China at some point is going to be the number one economy in the world and is going to have the most leverage and the most power. I mean, you look around the world right now and just all of what they're doing in terms of what people call predatory lending, Gordon, where they'll go to, say, I'm gonna use Venezuela as an example. They'll go to Venezuela and say, okay, you guys need money. I know you need money. All right, we'll give you money, but here's the collateral for that. We need those oil fields, and if you can't pay this money back, and they usually structure the deal in such a way that the interest rate is so onerous, it's so high. If you can't pay that money back, then guess what? We get that oil field. And they've done this a lot in Africa. And it's one of the ways that they're getting access to ports and commodities all around the world. I mean, I just look at it and say, at what point do we wake up and say, whoa, what just happened? And is there a way to actually go after China by sort of limiting the success that they're able to have economically rather than giving into it?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, when you look at what President Trump has in fact done, so for instance with Huawei Technologies, which is China's premier telecom networking company and also maker of smartphones, he's crippled Huawei. If you go back a year ago, everyone was saying, including me, that Huawei was going to wire the world on 5G, fifth generation of wireless communications. They were going to be able to steal all the world's data. They would be able to manipulate devices connected to the Internet of Things, in other words, everything. But what President Trump did by restricting chip sales to Huawei was to actually put the company in a place where it very well may not survive. So, for instance, Huawei's main business these days is smartphones. Well, Huawei's going to run out of chips for smartphones in the middle of next year, which means it very well may not be a viable business. So it shows you that imposing costs in the here and now, which is the Trump approach, actually works. And unfortunately, when you start to take, you know, the Biden view of, oh, let's get along with them, you know, let's support them, we can all get rich together, that doesn't work in practice.
It's naive,
as we've seen.
Yeah. You know, it's naive. And there's, you know, sort of an isolationist approach, like, what does it matter? You know, let them do what they're going to do. And I think you just can't bury your head in the sand, because at some point you're going to wake up and, you know, we're not going to have the ability or the leverage or the power to be able to fight this the way we can right now. You know, we've talked in the past, but I want the listener to hear this from you, Gordon. What is China's ultimate goal?
China's ultimate goal is to rule the world. First of all, it has the notion that it is the world's only sovereign state, which means that we're a colony. But it also wants to control technology. And the way it controls technology is to steal data, control devices, all the rest of it. They want the world to pay rent to China, in effect, making us, as one observer said recently, tenant farmers. So if they can are dominant in technology, they could do this. And that's the reason why it's so important for President Trump to make sure that Huawei plays by the rules.
Yeah, you know, it seems, you know, like we're not asking that for that much. I mean, if you're going to sit at the big kids' table, you kind of got to play by the big kids' rules. And right now they just haven't, and they've been pretty flagrant about that and very obvious about their unwillingness to play by our rules. I mean, they'll tell us they are, but yet they still steal intellectual property of ours. Let me ask you about this in terms of the role of American businesses, because, you know, Goldman Sachs is involved in the Alipay IPO. You're seeing a lot of big banks that would like to be doing business there, a lot of big corporations, right, that are very focused on their bottom line in a given quarter or in, you know, whatever the daily stock price is based on how many more, how much bigger a market they can access in China or how much cheaper a product they can get, et cetera. There are business incentives and reasons for them to be there. But what kind of cost does that take on American society?
Well, the cost is hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. IP stolen a year. It's somewhere maybe $300 to $400 billion range. Some people say $600 billion a year, but that's the cost. And what that means is our future, Trish. It means that families don't have the money to live. They don't have the money to send their kids to school. It's subsistence living, and it means a life of despair. And that's why we have a fentanyl problem in this country, which, by the way, is sold by China.
Interesting. All roads leading back there to China. If this continues unchecked for the next 8 to 10 years, what happens, Gordon?
Well, if it's unchecked, then we are going to end up being the servants of China. So we can't allow that. We've just got to defend our society. We're not saying that they shouldn't compete with us. We're just saying they got to follow the rules and they got to stop stealing our stuff. You know, these guys are criminals, and we need to make sure that we get them to stop. And Biden won't stop them, unfortunately.
Are we seeing enough cooperation? Are we seeing enough cooperation from other countries? Would they be willing to work with us on that?
They're starting to. They're starting to follow President Trump's lead, and this is clear in a number of areas. So, for instance, we were talking about Huawei. They are following on Huawei. They're also following on human rights and other things that the president has been leading on. So these are important things for the world, because they're starting to see that we're right and China's wrong.
Well put. Gordon Chang, thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always. I am Trish Regan. I'm going to be back with much more in today for Seb Gorka. See you right after this.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you, Seb. Good to be here with all of you here today. I am Trish Regan. And well, can you have ever imagined that we'd be sort of where we are right now with the craziness that has just become sort of the norm, with the vitriol that you see from one side directed entirely at the other? I mean, it's constant. The barrage of insults, this sort of chorus of hate that's just nonstop directed at President Trump and anyone who dares to support his policies. You know, the call lines have been lighting up, and I want to encourage everybody to call in. Thank you so much. One of the important things for everybody to remember sort of in a time like this is it may feel sometimes with the shadow banning. And by the way, I've seen it myself. I've just been stunned by the amount of shadow banning that really does happen. And I've seen it on my own Facebook account pages and on YouTube and all of this. You can call in 1-833-33-GORKA, 1-833-334-6752. They're really trying to clamp down on one side. And there's only just one way right now. It's their way or the highway. Anyway, I want to go to John in San Diego. He's talking about some of these GDP numbers. What are you thinking about, John?
Okay, Trish, here's the thing. We spoke to this before. Trump needs to get this to him. Okay, this 32% GDP number, that's half the country. All the blue states are still shut down. Mm-hmm. They are not creating jobs.
Right.
If you extrapolate it, this is a 64% GDP if all the states were open and growing. And he's got to get it, because I swear to God, half the country are so stupid, they think he shut these states down.
Yeah, no, and he didn't, by the way. It was the governors that shut these states down. And, I look at some of these states. I mean, Michigan is one example, and it's tragic, you know, what happened to her and that whole ordeal there with the governor. But my goodness, I mean, that economy, they turned that one off. I mean, she wouldn't even allow you to go to your vacation home, you know, if it was across town. Like, people were really and truly under lockdown orders. And we saw it in New York. We saw it all over the country. And it's amazing. John, you know, you think about out where you are in California versus, say, Florida, and you look at Disney World, right? Disneyland in California, they're talking about laying off 28,000 people there at Disneyland in California because they can't reopen, or where the restrictions on reopening are too severe versus look at what's going on in Florida. Isn't that sort of case in proof that, you know, it can be done? If it's done smartly, it'll be a big win for the economy.
It is. And the only reason that any of the blue state unemployment numbers are going down is because people are leaving the states.
Because people are leaving the states. Yeah, I mean, everybody's leaving California. We were just talking about that. Bill Maher saying he's thinking about it for the first time. He loves California. But, you know, look, when you're paying that much in taxes and you get that little in terms of return, I get it. I understand it. You know, people are not stupid. And these politicians that think we're just going to deal with it, we're just going to sit there and take it, and we're just going to let them tax us whatever they want to tax while not giving us any of the services, whether that be schools right now, whether that be law and order in terms of our police. Anyway, John, you're right. I mean, GDP, the Atlanta Fed is predicting, what, 33%? And it could be even better. It could be even better if we would just see America open up. We need the freedom to get back to work. I want to go to George on line three, who's joining us right now. Says Trump needs to talk more about peace around the world during his first term. Let's hear your thoughts.
Well, I'm just thinking, I haven't heard anything from President Trump. What happened about the Syrian civil war? We don't hear about that anymore. It's pretty much over. We don't hear about the Yemeni civil war. It's pretty much over. We don't hear about Gaza lobbing bombs at Israel every day. Pretty much over. And it's basically because we shut off the money spigot to Iran. If Biden gets elected, he's going to ship over another plane load of shrink-wrapped $100 bills.
You know, it's a good point. I was just talking about this the other day with someone about how we need to be more thoughtful in terms of our foreign policy and how there are things that we should be doing and can be doing, but it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, fighting all these wars or having proxy wars or enabling other regimes to have these wars. I think it's a good point that you raised, George, and an important one, and he should tout that. I mean, because, you know, they all said for years, you know, we want to get out of here, there, and everywhere, and did they? No. He actually did. And so far, so good, right? We're in a good place. And so it's another one of sort of his sort of check boxes that he can check off and point to. Victor joining us from Silver Spring right now, Democrats saying that Amy Coney Barrett is being rushed, and yet they forget about how Obamacare was rushed. That's a good point, Victor. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a long memory on this. In 2009, Christmas Eve, Nancy Pelosi and her Democrat-led House rammed Obamacare through. Then in 2010, March 23rd, the Senate rammed through Obamacare. And they're so upset that we're ramming through this Supreme Court justice. Who do they think they are telling us we're ramming things through, and they did it in the first place, and not one single Republican bothered to vote for it?
Yeah, look, it may all come undone. And by the way, you know, they keep saying they're telling, well, you know, you're going to lose your Affordable Care Act. Nobody likes the Affordable Care Act. I mean, tell me anybody who likes it. I haven't met anybody. People just don't like it. Obamacare was a disaster, and it could and should be replaced with something that's better, new and improved. And you know, the president has insisted. And by the way, he is someone who, when he, you know, makes those statements and insists on something, he usually tries to follow through. He has insisted that there's no way that he's not going to allow you know, everybody to keep their pre-existing conditions. So that's sort of off the table. But yeah, they're upset. They're upset not just because of that. I mean, they're upset about, you know, many things, including the issue of abortion. So Roe versus Wade, they fear that. They're concerned about overall direction of the court. And I think the other thing that they're really, really concerned about is what's going to happen after November 3rd, because they're fearful that she, along with the rest of the court, will vote in Donald Trump's favor if this comes down to a hanging Chad on steroids situation, which I do believe it will. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of legal battles ahead, and we know both sides are really geared up for that. Joe Biden has no intention of conceding this race. You heard Hillary Clinton say it. I mean, I nearly fell off my seat when I heard her say this, and I had to play the clip a couple times again because I thought, really? You know, a woman who was actually running for president of the United States, who was the Democratic nominee, is out there saying, you know, as just sort of a matter of fact, that Joe Biden should not concede no matter what, and he should make sure he's got these great lawyers and this, that, and the other. I mean, we really are feeling increasingly like a banana republic, and it's not because of one side. Sorry, it is the other. Anyway, so much more to talk about on this afternoon, as we watched what happened on Capitol Hill. It looks like she's going to get it when they can't do anything about it, but they will scream and holler, and that's just going to be the way we'll have to live for the next few days. Anyway, lots more to come. We're going to continue our discussion about the policies, right? The policies that are going to get us back on track, because they're trying to distract with all personality. But at the end of the day, Americans vote their pocketbooks. They vote for the success of this country. I am Trish Regan in for Seb today. I'm back after this.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Trump Card.
On Capitol Hill today, the Senate Judiciary Committee is beginning confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to serve as the next justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. In remarks prepared for her opening statement, Judge Barrett notes, and I quote, "I believe in the power of prayer, and it has been uplifting to hear that so many people are praying for me." In past Senate hearings, Judge Barrett has had to face scurrilous attacks on her Catholic faith, but she triumphed, much like Jack Denton did. After Alliance Defending Freedom helped defend his rights at Florida State University, simply for sharing in private his Catholic beliefs with other Catholic students, a smear campaign was started and Jack was removed as president of the Student Senate. But as we told you earlier this month, Alliance Defending Freedom filed a lawsuit against the university, and here's the update for you. On Friday, October 9th, a Florida court ruled that Jack's free speech rights had been violated and ordered Florida State to pay him as president of the Student Senate while the lawsuit continues. ADF can only fight and win religious freedom battles like this with your help. So please go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. Your gift of $100 or more defends religious freedom from coast to coast. Just go to sebgorka.com, or you can call 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888 to join Seb Gorka and me in supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. It's good to have you all here listening today. I am Trish Regan in for Seb, and on this wonderful afternoon where we're starting to see some clarity in terms of the Supreme Court. But, you know, it's amazing when you look at the media coverage of all of this. The media just, you know, they can't contain themselves. They're so horrified by all of this. I want to share with you a headline that just crossed on Vox, V-O-X Media, which sadly, for some reason, I get. Anyway, it says, quote, "This is not normal. Cory Booker calls out Republicans that are rushing Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court hearing." So if you go through this article, does it ever say for once that this has actually happened 29 times before? No. You know, they're trying to make you think that it's not normal. They're trying to, you know, make you believe effectively the spin that these Democrat senators are throwing onto this. But you know what? It is normal. It's absolutely normal. And by the way, it's constitutional. It is the president's duty to the Americans that elected him to put someone on the Supreme Court. And that's, in fact, what he's doing. The idea that this is going to be some kind of fight, or the idea that they want to stand in the way of this, is really and truly bizarre. Meanwhile, we got Joe Biden still out there on the campaign circuit, and he can't remember what office he's running for. I think we've got cut 11 ready for you. Here we go.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
Listen, you know, it'd be one thing, you know, if it just happened once, but it keeps happening again and again and again. And, you know, you start to wonder, is he okay? I mean, in all seriousness, he's getting up there, 77. So he's the oldest person to be right. I mean, he'd be the oldest if he was elected. I guess it gives, you know, new meaning to the vice president thing. All the more reason for us to be paying attention to what she's saying. And she's the woman who's saying it's perfectly fine. She said back in 2019 to look at things like packing the courts. I mean, we are at risk right now. We are at risk of veering off course in a way that's really problematic. You know, when you get, you know, a young teenage kid and they've got so much promise and so much potential, and you want to just make sure that they stay the course and that they're in their lane and that they don't get distracted by all the horrible things they could get distracted by. That's sort of America right now. America has so much potential and so much opportunity ahead. But what's critical is that we stay on the right path and we preserve our freedoms, and we preserve things like our freedom of speech, right, and our freedom to protect ourselves, and importantly, our freedom to prosper, because that's what they're trying to take away from us. They're trying to take away these freedoms, and we've never been in such a fragile state. I mean, it's like McCarthyism reversed, right? And that's somehow the norm, and it's acceptable right now. And again, you should all know you have a voice. You have a voice right here on Seb's show and on all the Salem Radio Network products and platforms. And you have a voice with me on TrishIntel.com, where you can always communicate directly with me, and you hear directly from me. And this is why it's so important right now, because they are in the process of trying to shut us down. And I see it. I'm amazed by the shadow banning. It's really pretty remarkable. I had heard about it before. I hadn't really paid that much attention. And it's incredible when you see how some stories they'll allow to circulate and others they won't. But there's a lot of questions that need to get asked. And, you know, we're still waiting on whether or not we're going to see any indictments from Barr and his team. Meanwhile, we need to see those emails. And Mike Pompeo says we will. All of Hillary Clinton's emails will be effectively unleashed. We'll get to see them all. They'll be declassified, which is important stuff. Anyway, again, I am Trish Regan. You're listening to Seb Gorka's show, America First. I'm back with you with more after this.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you so much, Seb. You know, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. And Dinesh D'Souza's new film, Trump Card, explains why. Whether it's creeping socialism of Joe Biden or overt socialism of Bernie Sanders, this film reveals what's unique about modern socialism, who's behind it, why it's evil, and how we can work with President Trump to stop it. You can watch it today at salemnow.com. Don't miss this important new film by Dinesh D'Souza. Go to salemnow.com and watch Trump Card today. If you're looking for a DVD, you won't find it on amazon.com because they're out of stock. But you can order your DVD at salemnow.com. So do so today. You know, it is the most important, really, election of our lifetime. And we've got two choices ahead. One of fiscal responsibility, one of fiscal irresponsibility. I mean, take a look at the $1.5 trillion student loan debacle as one example of something that U.S. taxpayers are now on the hook for and that Joe Biden wants to inflate even more. I mean, $1.5 trillion. Think about the size of that number. That is how much U.S. students owe in higher education debt in this country. And it's a number that just keeps creeping steadily higher. It's been ballooning in recent years. You got more and more Americans choosing to attend college, which I guess is good, although I would still argue that, you know, people shouldn't feel pressured to attend college. You ought to be able to, you know, get a decent job with a high school education. You know, fine if you want to go to college, but it comes with significant costs, and nobody seems to really be recognizing those costs. In fact, you now have Joe Biden offering to flat out cancel $10,000 of every federal loan borrower's balance, right, as part of a coronavirus aid relief effort. In addition, this is his other big thing. For anyone earning less than $125,000, Biden wants to just wipe away undergraduate debt for tuition at public colleges and private colleges that predominantly serve minority students. I mean, it's just, you know, at some point somebody's going to pay it back, right? Does he not understand that? Does he not realize that? You know, and higher education, I just look at it and say, why is this so inflated at a rate that hasn't really been normal for our economy? Well, part of the reason, right, is because we've got this education system that embraces or tries to marry two economic systems. On the one hand, it's capitalism, right? Because everybody, you know, supply and demand, everybody wants this American education. And on the other hand, you've got a socialist approach because this already expensive product is being made even more expensive and more expensive through all this supplemental funding, the government there with, you know, enabling students and families to borrow huge sums of money, right? And there's no restraint. And so in some ways, it's sort of like a new subprime loan. You've got all these kids that are borrowing all this money. And again, I'm not against education. I've actually had a fair amount of it myself. But I still question whether it's the right sort of philosophy and approach. I mean, we're pressuring young people to go to college and take out all this debt at such an early time in their lives when they need to be thinking about their future. I mean, just think if you had that money and you used it, say, to invest, or if you had that money and you used it to start a business, would you be in a different position? These are what economists like to call opportunity costs. And so there's an opportunity cost that nobody's thinking about. It's just like, oh, well, you have to go to four-year college. You absolutely have to. And here's all the loans you could possibly need. Here's some grants to make it a little bit easier. And what does that do? It creates a higher sticker price for the cost of the education. That's why you're seeing this massive, massive inflation. And it's not clear really whether or not these people, all of them, are going to be able to pay them back. I mean, it's like 08 in some ways all over again. You've got a massive market for these loans, right? And these loans are being made irrespective of income, irrespective of what any perceived intelligence is or what the college major is. And they're kind of like those no income, no asset NINA loans that proved so disastrous back in 08. And yet, you know, this is where we're heading, right? You got to take out all this money for this chance at an American education. And what is Joe Biden going to do? He's going to make the money more plentiful. I mean, how is that fair? Not to mention, if you're the family that actually paid off the student loans, what, now you get forgiven? You know, they're changing the rules in the middle of the game. Anyway, I think very few 18-year-olds can probably appreciate what $100,000 in tuition plus room and board really even is, right? Which is why we're going to get back to one of my platforms here, home economics. Why is nobody teaching home economics nowadays? We need to actually teach these kids, you know, what an APR is on a credit card. They don't know the difference between, say, the bond market and the stock market. They don't know how to set up a business. They don't know what a mortgage is. They don't know this stuff. It's the equivalent of financial illiteracy. And that's on the government. And you know what? Joe Biden wants to pay for them to go to more of these, you know, fancy schmancy schools so they can, you know, major in gender studies or whatever, philosophy. And they come out with all this debt and they've got to climb out of it at the very point in their lives that they should be setting themselves up for their futures. And in many cases, their families have taken on debt at the very time so many of these families need to be thinking about their own retirement down the line. Anyway, it just gets us back once again to the issues at hand, the fundamental difference, right? In terms of, do I take responsibility for myself? Do I believe in myself? Or do I want the state taking responsibility for myself? And I think the choice is pretty clear right now, but the policies are quite defined. I want to encourage you all to call in 1-833-33-GORKA. I am Trish Regan. I'm in for Seb today. If you haven't already, please make sure that you download and you subscribe to my podcast, Trish Intel. It's the Trish Regan Show, Trish Intel, on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, on new one for you, Amazon, and of course, you can always get it on my website where I'm covering all these stories like that $1.5 trillion student loan debacle, among other things, on trishintel.com. Again, you can call in 1-833-33-GORKA. I know that the call lines are all lit up, and I am going to get to all of you, so don't go anywhere. We got much more on the Sebastian Gorka America First Show right after this.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we? Everything from Amy Coney Barrett and her hearings and the left's sort of insanity about those hearings to China and the differences in policy that we might see under a President Biden versus a President Trump to the media and the insanity of the media and how biased they've become really in this environment and the danger of that, frankly. I mean, again, a true intellect believes in intellectual diversity and is not threatened, right, by another side or a different opinion. We talked about the economy, which is doing great. You know that? It's doing great. I mean, despite everything that we have been through, you got the Atlanta Fed predicting 33% growth. That would be a historic high. We've never seen 33% growth. So that's a big deal. We're looking at unemployment now, 7.9%, which is half what anybody thought it would be. We've added 11 million jobs, and we're seeing median incomes go up, including incomes in the manufacturing sector. So there's a lot to be really excited about right there. We've got the markets doing better. Tech seeing a lot of upside today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ending the day higher. And we even got right around to student loans. So I would say we managed to cover a lot of territory. And I thank Seb for giving me this opportunity to dissect all of these issues here with you, which is something I do every day at trishintel.com. So another little plug for the website. If you haven't been there, make sure you go, you check it out. You can correspond directly with me there. And also, by the way, YouTube, you know, Seb introduced me to YouTube, believe it or not. He said, Trish, you really got to get on YouTube, and it's a great way to communicate with people. You know what I love about it? I love being able to hear directly from all of you. It's no longer just a one-way conversation with me talking at a TV screen. I get to hear in real time from all of you. So I will be there tonight back on YouTube doing the Trish Regan Show there. So I hope you join me. But I credit Seb Gorka with that one because he was onto something. And I know he does this show on YouTube for you guys every single day, which is pretty incredible. He will be back with you tomorrow. I believe he went to my home state. It's his home state too, I guess. We New Hampshire people stick together for a little live free or die time. A very fitting motto and something to think about in this environment, as increasingly we're seeing this bureaucratic big state try to decide everything for us. You know, whether or not we can go to work, whether or not we have to wear a mask, even if you're hiking in the woods in New Hampshire. You know, Joe Biden, if he had his way, you're wearing a mask no matter what, anywhere. These are sort of fundamental things that really hurt our freedom as individuals. And increasingly, if they get their way, it seems to me, and I'm just going by their policy here, right? I'm just looking at the policy. It seems to me they very much want to be in control of every single one of us. And I don't think any of us want that. You know, we are American, true and true. Thank you so much for listening today. I'll see you on TrishaIntel.com. And Seb is back with you tomorrow. Have a great night, everyone.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.